join me in prayer. Taste and see, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Oh, taste and see, taste and see the goodness of the Lord, of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So I mentioned at the outset that I've been spending the last 9 years serving as a canon or an assisting priest in extension of the ministry of our presiding bishop, Michael Curry. And a big part of that job for me has been 9 years on the road convincing Episcopalians to take evangelism seriously. You can pray for me now. It's been a long 9 years. A lot, it gets easier because, of course, with Bishop Curry as our chief evangelist, people could point and say, oh yeah, that guy, that guy. But we've also had to develop some exercises, some ways to help Episcopalians to be evangelists for ourselves and to embrace a ministry that a lot of us often have been kind of scared of and maybe even turned off by. So one of the exercises that I love the most is called the feast. And I actually want to invite you to join me in that exercise right now. So feel free to put your papers down, put your feet on the ground. And if you would just close your eyes for a moment. I know it's an 8 a.m. service, so if snoring starts, it's all good. But close your eyes for a moment and just allow yourself to recall a meal. A meal that for you was just one of the most memorable. It might be that it was a Thanksgiving or a birthday feast. Just allow yourself to go back to that table, back to that meal. If you can, recall who was around you. Where were you sitting? What was the setting for this meal? Maybe it was the morning, maybe it was at night. Maybe there's family around you, friends. Allow yourself to go back to that time, that meal. Do you remember what you were eating? The flavors, smell, What were the sounds around you? Again, just allow yourself to fully inhabit that moment, that meal, those tastes. Now open your eyes. I invite you to turn, find a partner. One other person, might be three or even if there's three of you, you could turn and find somebody else who might not have a partner, but see if we can make pairs. It's all right to meet somebody at church. So thank you. I already saw it happen. Yay, so we just reached back. So find a partner right now. Just go ahead and find a partner. Who's your one other person? You all are here? Sir? Give the brother. So you all can invite him into your
Yeah,
okay, sure. Great. And if you would share with each other. Now share, and which of you will be partner one, first of all?
All right, I like that she pointed on your one.
All right, so partner one, you're gonna go second. Now we're awake, okay. Partner two, you're going to go first. And I'm just gonna give you like 90 seconds, this isn't hard. 90 seconds to share with partner one about the meal, that memorable meal, the flavors, the taste. Take your partner there to that meal, starting now. First partner, partner two, 20 seconds left to wrap up your story. All right, first partner, wrap that up. And now the partner one, that is the, you're going to be the one to go second, so you're going now. Partner one, feel free to share the story of your memorable meal, and just like do it so that your partner can taste it. Like you're really in that meal, at that table together, starting now. For the partner who's going right now, 20 seconds left. All right, deep breath. Who's hungry? totally. I love watching groups do this kind of sharing with each other, because inevitably what we discover is it's a story not just about food, but about a moment, about people, about just a time when you felt fullness, and we get to share that story with one another, the tastes, the textures, the sounds. Hopefully you feel a little more energized and connected with each other after you tap into that story of your hunger, how your hunger is met. From there, it's not that hard to wonder about our hunger for God, and whether or not you've ever had a moment when you thirsted and maybe even then received and enjoyed God. When you felt like you were in the presence of God, much the same way that you experienced the presence of those folk at that table. Maybe that felt like God to you. That sense of community, that sense of being filled. I think it's so illuminating. Our eyes open, our hearts open when we wonder about our hungers, and especially our hunger for God. Have you ever begged for the sight of God, for the company of God, for a taste of Jesus? Allow yourself to remember that moment, when it was happening, why. It's good to know what you're hungry for, and it's good to stay in touch with your hunger, our hungers, for God. See, hunger for the holy is a good thing. First, because I think Jesus wants us to be hungry for him, more than we are hungry for the best meal we ever had, more than we hunger for almost anything. That's why we see in today's gospel, Jesus has just fed the 5,000. They're full with bread. They're full with fish. And now he's trying to help them to understand something deeper. He's saying to them, my flesh is true food. My blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh, drink my blood, will abide in me, and I will be in them. This is the bread that comes from heaven. It's not like what your ancestors ate and they died. The one who eats this bread will live forever. It's like he's telling them, I know that you liked the bread and the fish I gave you on the mountain, and that's going to nourish your bodies for a moment. I'm trying to give you bread, sustenance, my flesh, my life. Allow me to abide in you, and you will have life more abundant, more rich, more full than anything you could ever wrap your tongue or your mind around. He wanted them to crave him, to need him, to eat him and get their fill. And not in a civilized, in a passive way either. Usually when John, the Gospel of John, talks about eating, he uses a particular Greek word, phago. But here, when Jesus is talking about eating his flesh, John chooses a much more gritty and earthy word, the word trogo, which means to chew on or to gnaw on. So in other words, what Jesus is saying is if you gnaw on my flesh and drink my blood, if you take me into you, ingest me so that I'm a part of you, you will have eternal life. You will have a life that death can't touch. So please take a hunk out of me, chew on me, swallow me, crave this food, this flesh. Allow yourself to hunger for the living God, like I'm the only real food there is. Friends, I hope that we can allow this kind of keen awareness and hunger for the true food, for the bread of life, for the living God, to come alive in us. Whenever we bring that hunger and that vulnerability to God, we're actually giving God the chance to fill us up. I've gone through periods when, honestly, I feel like I just forgot to be hungry for God. Maybe it was because I was satisfied and full with everything else. Full of my own sense of capacity. Full with what I've earned or acquired. The things that the world tells me will fill me and make me whole. And sometimes they do, until they don't. Until I look around and see the limits of human capacity. Until I look around at our country and see
the extreme human selfishness, anger, and division on display. And I see death unfolding in Ukraine and in the Holy Land and in our own streets. When I feel back home in New York, a summer so hot, or hear and witness the stories of fires in California and all over, and realize that our planet is burning. There's only so much that I can witness of all of that pain, that need, before my prayers just become groans. And all I can utter is, God, we need you. We need your breath of life. We can't do this on our own. Give us an alternative vision for community, God. Help us to speak your word. Help us to plant seeds of life and peace within and around, and to believe that your kingdom can still come, and that we're never so far off the path that we can't come home to you. Give us the bread of life, Jesus. We need it now. It's all right to cry out for God like that. It's okay to take the risk of looking needy or foolish. It's okay to shed your tears at the altar or to shake your fist at the sky and yell, where are you, God? You said you'd be with us. We need you now. Because God can come into that needy and hungry space and fill us up. You might pray and open to God and say, I want to experience you, God. I want to feel the wonder of you, God. I want to give praise to you. And then see if that praise doesn't open up a channel in you, a channel through which the holy can move. I'm not saying that God only pours love into those of us who work for it, but surely we can admit that we've all been at some tight spots sometimes, and we couldn't imagine a way out. And then we remember to ask for God. Amen? And then that bright presence comes. And then the strength arrives. And then love breaks in. And it's the sweetest thing ever. And you want to go back to that source again and again to stay full of God. And you can. And then other people will experience your presence and they will be struck by the fullness of God that pours into you and out from you. And the space around you will become a healing space, a life-giving space, a God space that others can flock to. But all of that fullness starts with the hunger, a hunger for the bread of life, a hunger for God. Have you ever cried out for just a taste of God? Have you ever been hungry for God? Maybe you woke this morning and came to church because you're hungry for God right now. Let yourself open. Let yourself crave God. Hold out your hand for the bread of life and let it come to you in scripture, in community, in the breaking and chewing of the bread, in the swallow of the wine, in a touch, in silence. And when that taste of God comes, and it will. God promised that it would. Well, then you grab on, and you gnaw on it, and forget about the knife and the fork and the pretty words and formal manners, and you gorge yourself on God. That's the spiritual feast, a feast that is as real as any of the meals that we shared about the opening. And this spiritual feast is nourishing beyond imagination. There are people to know that you've tasted it. Children, your best friends, so many people who are hungry for the Spirit and hungry to meet someone who's tasted the life of God. They're waiting to hear your story of the beauty of God, the fullness, the hope, the transformation, the transfiguration that comes from being in touch with God, even if you've only experienced it for a moment. Allow yourselves to want more of God. Would you? Allow yourselves to hunger for God. Could you? Here in this church, here at this table, and in every other part of your life, all you need is the hunger. God will do the rest.